Welcome to Chapels from Rosedale Bible College. Thanks for joining our community for weekly chapels recorded on our campus in Rosedale, Ohio. We hope you are challenged and inspired by what you hear. Enjoy.
It's great to be here. And I feel a little bit more out of the loop. I was on sabbatical last fall when you all came to campus, and so I haven't been around as much. I don't know as many of you as much as I have in some years, but it's really good to be here. As Aaron said, we're continuing on with parables. You know, often the way something starts is an indication of what is to follow. I need you to help me out to make this point, okay? If I were to say, once upon a time, far, far away, what would come would be a fairy tale. Sure. If I say roses are red, violets are blue, what would come is a poem. If I said a preacher, a rabbi, and a priest walk into a bar, what is to come is, okay. And if I said open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, what is to come is a sermon. Very good. Yeah, do open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. See, the way something begins is often an indication of what is to come. It's to help interpret what is coming next. And Jesus did this famously. So many times when he wanted to drive home a really important point, he would begin by saying, "The kingdom of God is like." And then what would follow is a parable, a story. So whenever Jesus says the kingdom of God is like, or he who hears these words of mine and does them is like, it's an indication to those that are listening that Jesus is going to say something profound, a point he really wants to make, but often through a story. For example, the scripture, when he talked about the scripture about loving our neighbor, instead of launching into a lecture about what that means, he told the story of the Good Samaritan. And we can learn a lot from him. Stories are powerful communicators of truth. The Bible says that Jesus didn't teach the crowds of people without using stories. And I love it that you've been focusing on these stories of Jesus. Is Reuben in here today? Can I pick on him even if he's not in the room? How many of you have had Reuben's preaching class? Does he still teach a preaching class? Oh, Jeff does now. Okay. So Reuben led a seminar at our recent pastor's conference on preaching. And I went to it and found out that Reuben doesn't really like when preachers tell stories in their sermons. So Reuben doesn't like how Jesus taught, is what I figured out. He actually made a pretty good point, because a lot of times stories are self-serving or whatever, that we need to be careful with our use of stories. But anyway, I thought I'd poke at him a little bit so you guys can pass that on to him. But stories are powerful communicators of truth. And we're going to look at this brief parable or story that Jesus told right at the end of his famous Sermon on the Mount about a wise and a foolish builder that illustrates and drives home his message of how we can and should build a stormproof life. And the story is familiar enough that probably most of it, I don't know, at least in my generation, we grew up singing the song in Sunday school. I don't know if you did. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Yeah, okay, you got that. That's the story we're doing this morning. I'm going to read it from Scripture, though, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." I know some of you are in the trades program, and you're probably starting to think a lot more about how things are built. But many of us, me included, don't think a whole lot about how things are built until a storm comes along. Or here in central Ohio, until it's the middle of winter and you begin to wonder, is there any piece of insulation in my walls at all? I remember where we lived in Florida. My wife and I, and we had all of our four children when we were living in Florida. In the summer of 2004, there was a number of hurricanes that came through our area. And all of a sudden, everybody became really concerned about how their house was built. And whether the builder who was responsible for it had taken any shortcuts or done the right things. And fortunately, in our neighborhood, everything held up pretty well, except those who had trees fall on their houses. But there was whole subdivisions in our community that it became this big deal that they got water, and the water came right through their walls because of inferior stucco products that were used and this pounding rain just 3 days solid. All of a sudden, it became apparent that the house was not built real well. But I don't want to talk just about houses and hurricanes this morning. What I really want to know is what your life is built on and how storm-proof is your life. The question is not whether we're going to have to go through storms in our life or not. The question is when a storm comes, and they will, whether it's relational issues, emotional problems we encounter, spiritual difficulties, financial, health, physical. Is your life built on something solid enough to keep you standing, to keep you fruitful, to keep you fulfilled through the storm? How can we build a life that is storm-proof? How can we build a life that is victorious and fruitful even when the storms of life rage all around us? And that's exactly what I hope we can learn this morning from Jesus' simple but powerful story about the wise and foolish builder. When the storm came, one house stood, the other collapsed, and there's a reason for that. When the storms of life come, one person's life crumbles all around them, and another stands tall and strong. There's a reason for that, too. What is Jesus saying here? And maybe first I'll try to answer the question, what is Jesus not saying? The first thing he is not saying is that a stormproof life is not contingent on avoiding the storms or living in a stormproof area a protected area. The wise man wasn't wise because he built his house in an area where storms could never reach him. Neither does building a stormproof life mean isolating ourselves to the degree that we don't have to deal with any external influences or pressures. Wisdom in building the kind of life that honors Christ and stands strong through the storms does not mean living in a spiritual bubble where nothing can get to us and we never have to deal with the realities of life. There are no storm-free zones. This is a parable about weathering the storms, not about avoiding the bad weather. So a stormproof life is not contingent on avoiding the storms. A stormproof life is not contingent on working harder than others. The wise man was not wise because he worked harder than the foolish man. We don't really know. As far as we know, the man who built his house on the sand didn't lack diligence or energy. It wasn't an easy task to put up a house wherever it was. They didn't have all the stuff you guys have over in the trades building. He had to carry stone, cut wood, form bricks out of clay. It probably took him weeks or months or I don't know how long. It's not that he quit. As far as we know, he persevered until the structure was complete. And yet, in the end, all his hard work was for nothing. And I point this out because we often confuse activity with godliness. We assume that someone must be close to God if they're very busy in ministry, doing things for the Lord. And so we make ministry, activity, or involvement the mark of spiritual maturity. But that's a mistake. Because all the activity and service may be built upon a foundation of sand. We could be doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons. So I mentioned that I was on sabbatical this past year. And the first question that everybody asked me when during or after, what did you do on sabbatical? And I actually think that more important was what I didn't do on sabbatical. I had to stop doing all the ministry activity that my identity was coming from, my sense of worth was coming from, my, you know, feelings of, you know, and it stopped. And I was left with doing none of those things. I had to just sit with the Lord and figure out what is my life built on beyond just keeping busy doing stuff for God. So a stormproof life is not contingent on avoiding the storms. It's not contingent on working harder than others. A stormproof life is not contingent on impressive features. And this goes kind of right along with the previous one. The wise man wasn't wise because his house was filled with so much more impressive features than the foolish man. As far as we know, the appearance and the functionality of the houses was equally impressive. The foolish man built something that was impressive and worthwhile. It was an accomplishment. As long as the weather was good, it was perfect. It wasn't obviously defective. And it's possible to accomplish great things and impressive things in life. You can build profitable a business or a career. You can have a good marriage and wonderful, talented kids. You can coach Little League baseball and feed the poor and volunteer at a retirement home or do whatever you can do. You can have a good time and enjoy life. You can do big, important things. But that doesn't a storm-proof life make. Eventually, a storm may come along and bring it all tumbling down. You can even do impressive things in ministry. You can be incredibly gifted. See, so often we equate giftedness in ministry with godliness and spiritual maturity. We assume that if someone is incredibly gifted in ministry, then they must be spiritually mature and stable. And so we make that a mark of spirituality or spiritual maturity. But again, it's a mistake, because the very ministry that seems so impressive may be built upon a foundation of sand. Just before Jesus tells this story of the wise and foolish builders, he says this in verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Impressive accomplishments in life and in ministry do not guarantee a stormproof life. So it's not contingent on avoiding the storms. It's not contingent on working harder than everyone else. It's not contingent on our giftedness or our abilities or what we've accomplished. What is it contingent on? A stormproof life is contingent on a solid foundation. The wise man was wise because he built his house on the rock. He built his house on a solid foundation. How can two men each build a house in the same town, work equally as hard, use the same materials in framing it together, have equally impressive structures and features, experience the same storm, and end up with such different results? Because one was built on solid rock, one was built on shifting sand. And the same is true for people who live in the same town, go to the same church, work equally as hard in ministry, both equally gifted, experience the same storm, and one's life comes crashing down around them while the other weathers the storm, emerging on the other side stronger and more faithful. How does that happen? It's the foundation that our lives are built on. This is a parable about foundations. Jesus is speaking of the absolute necessity of building your life on the right kind of foundation. The foundation of your life is what holds everything else up. If you want a stormproof life, a life that honors Jesus, a life that pleases God, you can't cheat on the foundation. If you mess up the foundation, the entire structure of your life is compromised. So what's the foundation of your life like? The Apostle Paul, in his words, he says in 1 Corinthians 3, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And here's the problem, I think, for defeated, disillusioned Christians that don't weather the storms. It's not that Jesus isn't part of their lives. It's that he's not the foundation. The lives of too many in the church today are built on a foundation that is not any different from those in the world. They've just added Jesus as a part of their life. But Jesus is not meant to be one of the items on the buffet of our lives that we pick and choose. He is our life, the foundation of our life. He needs to be Lord of your life. Somehow we've made it okay for people to pick and choose what they want of Jesus. And so maybe they choose the Savior part, save me, but they forget the Lord and Master part. What does it mean to build our lives on a solid foundation? What does it look like? I believe it's when Jesus is truly Lord of our lives, I'll say it in a little bit in the simple words of the parable, but when he's Lord of our lives, when the song we sang, when we mean that to the very core, I surrender all. I surrender all. When we quit living the way that we want, driven by our flesh, and trying to then make his word fit in with our agenda here and there, and we start saying, I don't care what it costs me. I surrender all because his word says it. Whatever it costs, I'm going to do it. It's when we quit taking our cues from the world and start taking them from God's Word and from His Spirit. It's when our opinions and our worldview are shaped by the Word of God and the witness of His Spirit rather than the world and its messengers. It's when we hear the Word of the Lord, as Jesus says, and put it into practice. Therefore, verse 24 again, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Do you want a storm-proof life? Then hear the words of the Lord and put them into practice. Instead of bitterness and strife toward those who offend you, build your life on forgiveness. Instead of revenge and getting even, build your life on reconciliation. Instead of being evasive and deceptive, be forthtelling with the truth. Instead of hating your enemies, build your life on loving your enemies and praying for them. Instead of just being outwardly religious, build your life, build into your life this deep personal connection with Jesus that not everybody has to see on display. Do those things, those secret acts of kindness and ministry, not just what everybody can see. Instead of dedicating your life to the accumulation of personal wealth, build eternal value into your hearts, dedicating your life to His purposes for creating you. Instead of worrying your way through life, build your life on a firm trust in the caring hand of God. Instead of leveraging things to your favor and manipulating people to get what you want, build your life on giving cheerfully and generously and doing good for others. Do you want to build your life on a solid foundation? Hear these words of mine, Jesus says. So put yourself in a position each and every day to hear the Word of God. Read His Word. Talk about it with others. Listen to it preached. Immerse yourself in His Word. Hear these words of mine, and then do them. Put them into practice. That's the difference. That's the firm foundation. Hear these words of mine. Put them into practice. One of the things I did do on sabbatical, along with the things that I didn't do, was this practice of reflecting on a scripture every day and then simply asking the question, Jesus, what would it look like for me to apply this scripture today? It's been a great practice. I've tried to keep it up since I'm back in my role as well. And some days it's like inspiration, yeah. Other days it's like, I'm not sure. But I want to leave you with a challenge. Today, sometime today, open Scripture, read it, hear it, and then just ask, Jesus, what would it look like for me to put this into practice today? And then do it today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to gather around your word this morning and reflect and express our hearts to you.
Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please share so others can benefit from it as well. And be sure to check out our other podcasts at rosedale.edu/podcasts.